From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, the home of the Chicago White Sox, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Now, more Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Niles and the Howard Street Inn on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000. Jay Cutler with Waddle and Sylvie.
Cutler down the middle, right in stride.
Jay Cutler, Fridays at 3.
Second and 10, finds the pocket. Cutler, what a grab for the touchdown!
Fridays at 3.
That was a sick throw by Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler on ESPN 1000.
That's right, love talking to Jay every Friday at 3 o'clock. The people love it too, and you're going to love Jay's meats. Yep, he's selling meat these days.
I think they've got a little extra to dole out because Rebel went down.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this story. Yeah. It's Cuts by Jay and Pat, and it's a perfect holiday gift for your family or for yourself. I mean, you want something good for the holidays. Get Cuts by Jay and Pat. You can do so by visiting cutsbyjayandpat.com. And also, Jay's got a new podcast, Uncut, with Jay Cutler. Jay joins us on the Corona Hotline. Are you skiing? Did I see that? Or was that a file video that you were posting
file
today?
Video.
I don't do file videos. You guys know better than that. I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what that means.
So where are you? In Colorado?
I'm in Vail right now. Flew in late last night and then hit the slopes this morning. It's a little sparse with the snow, but it was a good day. 50 degrees out, so it was nice. It was fun.
You grew up in Indiana, right? It's kind of flatland, right? So, like, there's no skiing in Indiana.
No, not at all. When I got to Denver, I started snowboarding because I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So I go and dangerous.
I go and get all the stuff, and the snowboard, the boots, the gear, all the stuff. And I mean, I'm falling everywhere, but I mean, I can get down a mountain. I figured it out. About the second day, I get a phone call, and it was Mike Shanahan. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, it was off season. I was like, just hanging out with friends. He goes, I need you to get your ass off that mountain ASAP. And I was like, oh, okay. So obviously, I was done, and then I just started skiing. I think 2 years ago, I was in Aspen. And running some skis, and I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. And I've loved it ever since.
Really? I've never been able to ski.
Neither, me neither.
I mean, like
just a little bit.
I felt like it was hard to learn. I fell on my ass a couple of times, and I quit.
Did you find it? Surprise me. Tom, I'm kind of surprised by that one.
Yeah, I mean, like, I first of all, there was no snow and no hills where I grew up as well. But when I went to Boston, I never took to it.
Well, when's the last time you skied?
Second year in the league.
So a long time ago.
Yeah,
anyway.
35 years ago.
I mean, I think the technology has changed so much now. Like the skis now. I was talking to my buddy today. I looked around like, listen, there are so many non-athletic people out here that are skiing. It really honestly blows my mind.
Yeah.
And people that are, I mean, so much better skiers than I am. So I think you could do it.
Are you an adventurer?
Skis are different. Or what?
I said, are you one of these adventurous guys that goes down the most difficult runs, or are you jumping out of helicopters?
No, I'm not trying to die.
Okay, that's a good idea.
No, I just put one ear pod in, just one, so I can hear the other ear what's happening around me. Put some music on, and you know, nice easy blue.
Yeah.
So
maybe a easy black if I'm. You know, 3 days in, I'm feeling good about myself.
Okay.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, it's a Black Diamond. Is that what it is? What it's called?
Yeah, they're called that. You know, if I get stuck on the moguls, like, I hate my life. Like, it's brutal. I just want to quit. I just want to cruise down, listen to some music, have some fun in the mountains.
So you're not competing with anybody trying to get down the hill faster? Okay.
No. I do track it just to see kind of how many miles I do.
Yeah.
But no, like you can buzz past me. You can go as fast as you want. I'll give you a high five on the way by.
Do you enjoy skiing down the hill more or being in the lodge afterwards more?
Oh gosh, I think I only come to ski down the hill so I can go to the lodge afterwards.
Okay. Like, it makes you feel better about going in there and being overserved.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, hey, you know, I told the guys this yesterday. I was like, listen, like, we're going to get overserved naturally. Like, yeah. It just kind of naturally happens to us when we go to bars. Yeah, but we're going to ski in the morning. We're going to burn it all up. We're going to feel good about ourselves.
So what's the drink of choice when you're at the lodge? Like, do you have something hot?
Hot toddies.
No, it's not that. If it was cold out, I would get something. I'd maybe get some sort of warm bourbon drink. But we had two or three beers up on the hill at the top at lunch. And then right now I'm drinking Four Roses with a big cube.
Bourbon. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so I know you don't roll in any small fashion. I'm assuming you are staying somewhere where you can basically ski into the house you're at.
I'm actually at the Four Seasons, and they just kind of they do everything for you. They just take your boots, take your skis, shuttle you to the place. They might as well carry you up the hill and just send you down at this point.
That's beautiful.
So then Waddle mentioned that you got the deer. You got Rebel.
Well, you know what? I didn't tell him this. I said I sent him the picture. It actually wasn't Rebel. Like, Rebel is still out there running free. And my Luke, I started talking about him last week. My farm manager has hunted him, I think, 6 straight days. And the only time this deer has shown up is when he's not there. I'm thinking the deer is smarter than us. It's obvious at this point.
So is Rebel a bigger deer than the one you actually got?
Yes. Yes. So like, that was my last afternoon, and we knew this deer was kind of coming out in a certain spot. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to hunt him, and then Luke, you hunt Rebel, you know, the rest of the week and see if you can knock him down. And I think Rebel just laughs at us.
You had us kind of feeling, I don't know, you know, guilty's not the right word, but sorry for you, because it sounded like Thanksgiving you may be by yourself. Did you end up going to your sister's place?
I didn't go to my sister's place. I hunted that afternoon and then got my deer. And then Luke and his brother came over, brought a bunch of food. We, you know, told stories about the deer, skinned him out. It was good. I had a great afternoon. I couldn't have. I mean, obviously, I could have thought up some better things to do, but it was fun.
That's great. That's great. Jay Cutler joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So, did you miss the Bears Lions game? Because it was one of those doozies.
I watched it.
You did? I mean, one of the worst games of the year, wasn't it?
It had to have been.
And so, no Justin Fields this week. Andy Dalton.
I would shut down for the rest of the year at this point.
You would? Why?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I still think, don't you think there are still some things that he can gain, positive things, by being out there taking some snaps?
I think it boils down to if you're keeping the coach or not. If you're keeping the coach, sure, put him out there and, you know, let's learn the offense, let's go through the things. If you're not keeping the coach, shut him down and save him and make sure he doesn't get hurt.
I'm assuming you've been – I mean, memory is not serving me well, but you've been on teams where you are a 4-7 team. How difficult is it to get out there? I mean, everyone's a competitor. This is a job. You're a professional. But there's much less inspiration at 4-7 than there is 7-4, isn't there?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think the young guys have a hard time with that, especially coming from successful programs. Like, they've never been in that situation where they're completely out of it and they're just playing. You know, you're playing for the guys in the locker room. And, you know, what we tried to tell those guys is, you know, there's very few players that just stay on one team their entire career. It happens, obviously, but it's a rarity. So, you know, you just got to let these guys know there's 31 other teams out there that are watching this tape week in and week out. And, you know, if you shut it down at the end of the year, like, people are going to see that. They're going to know that. And that's, you know, word of mouth is pretty quick in the NFL.
Well, I mean, so don't you, like, for me, I would like to see Fields, whether Nagy's here or not, get up and go to Green Bay next week. I mean, he has not experienced what that atmosphere is like, Sunday Night Football up against Aaron Rodgers. I want to see him go to Minnesota, play a division game there. You don't think there are still lots of lessons?
What do you want to see happen?
I want to see him continue to improve.
Well, I mean, do you think that's possible?
I do. I mean,
Why?
I've really gone after Nagy hard. I think DeFilippo's
Since the year started. Before the year started.
Before the year started, he should not have been a coach.
Last year.
I'm still shocked that you like him. I'm still shocked by that. But, like, you know, DeFilippo knows how to be a quarterback's coach. I still think there are valuable lessons that he can learn in his rookie.
I think you could get reps out there. And, like, the little things that, you know, learn to be a professional. I think that there are some positives that they can you know, take out of playing the last several games.
No, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you guys. I mean, and that's the debate. Hey, you get reps, you get, you know, you learn how to be a pro, you learn how to play in Green Bay and these Sunday night games, and then you weigh that against, all right, like, we're going to throw him out there, and we might not be successful. He might throw three picks. He might get hurt. He, you know, might get sacked six times again. So you've got to weigh that and be like, all right, like, is this really worth us doing this or not? And, you know, I'm not in the meetings week in and week out, so it's hard for me to say. But I think looking from the outside in, I'd be like, shut him down. There's no reason for this.
We've talked to you.
Let's think about this. Let's talk about Aaron. I mean, he watched pretty much for 3 years and then rolled out there and was pretty damn successful. So getting reps as a rookie isn't the tell-all of a successful quarterback.
I still would like to see it happen. I want to ask you about Kyler Murray.
Just destroyed your whole argument. All you said was, yes, I want to see that.
No. Look, I could stay on this. I think it's a good test for him. And I think the one thing that he has shown is what you said. Waddle's pointed this out, that he is not scared to get back on the horse. Whether it's that ass-kicking he took in Cleveland, he could come back against Detroit. I think getting on the same page with Darnell Mooney, learning.
How about just being on the field and going through progressions and learning how to better read, more effectively read a defense and seeing things that are coming at you? Not at the expense of getting your ass kicked every Sunday, but that may happen in a certain way anyway. But he's also, Jay, he's got to learn how to protect himself. And the only way he's going to do that is by playing as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to learn his protections. He's got to learn where his hots are. He's got to learn where his problems are, you know, at the snap of the ball. And I think he's got a little ways to go in that. And, I mean, you're right. You guys are definitely right. It's just there's another side of this that I'm kind of weighing that one more than playing him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Injury versus experience, it sounds like. That's what you have to decide.
He's going to learn a system, and then maybe next year he's going to learn a completely different system. So, I don't know. There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, it sucks either way. That's what we know about. And Kyler Murray, what would you do here? And we've talked about him with you. He has not played in several weeks. He has practiced most of this week. I haven't seen any news on him yet today. The weather's supposed to be wet, one of those rainy early December games. Could be some snow, too. And the Bears aren't that good. Would you, as Arizona, who still has the number one seed in their sights, get him back out there if he's healthy, or would you try to save him for an extra week, get him off a rainy field, and just live for next week?
See, I think as a quarterback, like, rain and snow is in your favor, and because, you know, these defensive guys, they don't know where you're going, and a guy like him, who's already a video game bouncing around, like, he's going to be fine. I mean, he's short, so he's a low center of gravity already, but I would play him, and I would start getting him into playoff and getting that whole team in a playoff run and getting December rolling in the right way for you. So I would let him, if he feels good, and I'd let him roll it out, because defenders slip a hell of a lot more than the offensive guys.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers a minute ago, and we had this conversation earlier in the week. I think that Aaron Rodgers, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, has been by far the best quarterback in the league. Doesn't mean that Tom Brady won't find his rhythm, but Tom hasn't been, you know, at his best the last 3 weeks. Neither have any of the other quarterbacks. When you watch Aaron Rodgers play, I think they've done a better job listening to him and putting people around him and trying to upgrade the team. My biggest fear is that he's not going to be pissed at the end of the year and he's going to want to stay. Do you think it's more likely now, based on what we've seen, that Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay for the next several years is a more distinct possibility than it was earlier in the year?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think they're going to have this debate every year because I think the Green Bay seems like already's happy, but Aaron's going to want, you know, a little bit more every year, a little bit more every year. Hey, you know, keep – obviously, it's working in Aaron's favor, so why would not he – why wouldn't he be like, hey, you know, you guys need to take my advice more often because this is obviously working, and I'm telling you guys how to do this.
Well, living in the NFC North, he's got an easy path to the postseason for sure.
Yes.
You know, his opportunities to get deep into the postseason in the division he's playing in. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, look, the more I hear him talk, the less I feel like I know where he's coming from. But I just have felt, based on what has transpired over the last month and the way he's played and some of the ways that the team has kind of come to terms with him on a number of different issues, it just feels like to me that it's more likely that he'll be there longer than I had hoped.
Yeah, his verbiage has definitely changed. You know, it doesn't seem like they're at odds. And obviously winning cures a lot of those problems. But, you know, if they get to a certain situation, NFC Championship or a playoff game, and it doesn't work out because of, you know, X, Y, and Z, and Aaron thinks that he knows how to fix it and organization isn't listening, they're going to be in the same boat they were this past offseason.
Right. We all have this great – I mean, I think he's one of the top five quarterbacks that has ever played. He gets knocked by some people because he's only 1-1. What do you think of that criticism that goes along with a quarterback as good as him that he's only 1-1 Super Bowl?
I think you got to look at his rosters and say, hey, he's done more with less by far than, you know, Tom or Joe Montana or, you know, Bradshaw, like anybody that's won multiple Super Bowls.
Who's great in the NFL right now as far as teams?
I think it's tough. I mean, I think December is kind of where everything starts to separate because you got some of these guys on the bubble that get hot. Some of these teams that, you know, like in Green Bay, they could drop a few. You know, Arizona, if they don't start figuring things out, December, they're a younger team on the offensive side. So I think December, you know, these first couple weeks in December, you start to really see, all right, these guys can play in tough weather when everyone's a little banged up. You know, you're missing a few guys, and you can go out and grind a game.
So what does a Friday night in Aspen look like? Is there night skiing, or is it something else that goes on?
No. I mean, we already talked about my day. It's skiing in the morning,
right,
mid-afternoon, and then, you know, obviously we go to the bar and maybe get overserved a little bit. So I don't think night skiing would be safe for us.
Okay, good move.
But it's our good friend Mark Block's birthday this weekend.
Oh, I wish him a happy birthday from
happy
us.
Happy 30th to Block.
I will. So we got some guys in town. We'll do some dinners and see where the night takes us, I guess.
Yeah. Living your best life. That's
enjoy.
Awesome.
You are. You're enjoying life to the fullest. That's for sure. Have a great one, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
I appreciate it.
There you go. It's Jay Cutler each and every Friday. Good stuff.
Bourbon sipping Jay for us today.
I
disagree with him on the Justin Fields.
And I want to react to that. There's an area where I would agree with that if something was different. We could get to that. I want to have fun with Southern Tom Waddle, too, as we were talking about Southern Brian Kelly all of a sudden. We are live at the Howard Street Inn. We're drinking ice-cold Miller Lite on ESPN 1000.
It's Miller time. And it is flowing fine at the Howard Street Inn. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Your mom's making trouble over here.
I know.
Is it trouble or actually?
My mom is here.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if Barb's making trouble. Or actually, Barb is creating job security.
Yes, I think she knows that, yes. Yeah. Right, she met the new boss.
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes of meeting the new boss, she told him that he was cute.
Yeah. Well, I think he's cute as well.
We all do.
Yeah. I would say I think he would feel less bothered if we just said, Keith, you look handsome today. Like, if you said that to me, boss, you'd say, hey, Tom, you look handsome. Did you just wink at me?
The wink is.
All right,
the wink is awfully creepy. I don't think, like.
I think the wink for anybody is a creepy thing.
It's a very creepy.
It's a creepy move for anybody.
Yes, yes. And there are people who I know.
Yes, that one. Yeah, the wink with the, you know, the finger gun.
Oh, and if you're gonna
double creepy.
Yeah.
Hey!
My wife and I have a joke about that, the winkers.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a whole life. It's a lifestyle, the people who wink.
Hey! Well, a little, yeah, even when you go side gun, too.
There are many different ways. I don't think you can dial up the wink in any way.
That it's acceptable.
That it's not, yeah. Or create like.
I am thrilled, though, because my favorite Silverman is in the house right now.
Yeah, I know.
Your mom has always been my favorite member of your family. I've told you that. Like, I'm not, I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings, but I've told you that for years.
You think that I worry a lot, or you think that I'm a little anxious? You haven't seen anything.
Well, I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
How about the way I talk? Have you ever met my mom and dad?
No, but you were telling me some stories. I met your dad. I've met your
dad.
Did you? Yeah, multiple times. There's also someone here, too, who's wearing a shirt that says, Trubisky makes me drink. I still haven't seen it, but someone was telling me.
Trubisky makes me drink?
There he is over there. They've got the Bears gear.
Hey. Little wink and side gun for you, buddy.
So we're at the Howard Street Inn. Look, I understand to a point what Jay's saying. Like, if he had a bum knee, all right, that was sprained and that he, then I would say I'd be open to shutdown thing.
I'm with you, and I think maybe
not with this.
Maybe the fact that he's got cracked ribs. Jay's assuming that this is something that may last several weeks, and then he may be available for the final couple games of the season. The fact is Justin was a limited participant in practice. I'm with you. I disagree with Jay's assessment of potentially shutting him down. I think you can, even if you are having to learn a new system next year. There are so many different things a rookie quarterback can gain from just being on the field, calling plays, reading defenses, going through progressions. I think there's a lot of learning that can take place between now and the end of the season, as long as you're not going to compromise his long-term health.
Right.
So I'm with you. I'm a huge proponent of him being back on the field as soon as possible. I get it if you're from a longer distance than an arm's length away and you hear cracked ribs. Maybe your assumption is the team's going to be in a different direction next year. Maybe you're better off just being safe as opposed to sorry. I'm on the other side of that conversation.
Greg is on the south side. Greg, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just had three quick thoughts. I'll be at the game on Sunday, and I personally believe that chanting fire Nagy isn't going to force the Bears to fire him. It sounds pretty ridiculous, like booing your home team. You've already given them your money to be in the house. Speaks louder not to show up. And I think we got to let go of the hope that the McCaskies are going to sell the Bears. If you own the Bears, would you sell them? Seriously?
I would not, no.
I don't think anybody would.
And, unless I could get, if they're worth $4
billion. They could cash out now, make the biggest
profit ever. If you give me $10 billion, we could probably make a deal.
And I think the Brian Kelly fake accent is the funniest thing happening in college football right now.
It's unbelievable.
I've never been a fan of Brian Kelly, so it's just hilarious.
It's something.
And gee, Willikers, why would you think that's fake?
I'm here with my family.
It's just so unnecessary. They gave you $9.5 million a year. You don't need to pander to anybody.
Again, is that what the game plan? So coaches always have a game plan.
Yes.
He goes in and he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wow them. I'm going to really fire them up, and I'm going to speak like I've been down in Louisiana forever. I'm going to talk like them.
I would think that that would offend them more than get
of
them in his corner.
Yes.
It's weird. It's just weird.
As far as the chanting, again, for fans who love to go to games, all right, if you don't want to show up, you don't have to, but a lot of people have paid their hard-earned money. It's still entertainment to be with your friends, to go to the game, to tailgate, to be there, the whole experience. To me, you always ask me why I boo, why I cheer, why I do what I do. To me, it's therapeutic. Like,
that's cool.
And as long as I'm there, I'm going to let them know how I feel about the way I play. When I boo a team, it doesn't mean that I dislike them. It means I'm mad at them. It's like scold. Like, to me, you if your child does something wrong, are you okay with it?
I boo.
Or do you tell them, look,
I load up the boo gun.
What you're doing right now is unacceptable.
Yeah.
You're in timeout. Or you're getting your Tom Brady jersey taken away. Or this or that. I still love them. So with the Bears, when I'm going to the game and I want to have my voice heard, I literally try to have them hear my voice.
I've never been against booing. Yeah, I mean, but I've always told you, I think that fans that get their feelings hurt when players talk back to them, like, don't get red-assed at them. If you can boo, you can be booed back.
Right.
Now, I don't think it's always a great approach for a player.
It's not a good PR.
Yeah,
approach.
Because it puts a target on your back. I don't look down on people that boo. Look, I don't boo, but I'm not telling you that you shouldn't boo. You should do what you want to do as a fan. You've paid your freight to be in the building.
We could all be different.
Yeah.
Well, we could all be different.
The booing team, like, I get a headache.
I dislike when someone says, because I boo, that I don't like my team as much as them. Like, that. No, it means I'm mad. You get mad at people in your life that you love all the time, and you let them know you're mad.
Do you boo your kids?
No, I don't boo them. You know, the thing that I was going to bring up with Wilbon, we could get into later. The chants of the game have affected him, though. Like, he was at the White Sox game when they're chanting, cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. And he's become
a chanter.
A chanter, and not a good sport. Because at the highest level, he hears that, and he thinks he can do that at, like, high five.
Well, Dad, that's
in
why
Northbrook, you
Dad, that's why you make the big bucks as a parent.
You got a parent.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a you issue. That's
right.
Not a him issue. He's seven.
So we will have Waddle's World coming up. We could expand on that a little bit later.
I want to hear some songs.
We do. Okay, you want to
yes,
debut some songs?
Yes, Waddle's World is about songs.
All right, we'll debut some songs. 5 o'clock hour will also play you the best of what we've got so far. It's a wide open competition. And Carmen's coming up as well. I want to talk about the Bulls later in the show.
Sure.
We are live at the Howard Street Inn. We're drinking ice cold Miller Lite.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie live from Niles and the Howard Street Inn. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
We're on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. So many aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Look at my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
That reminds me too, Will Ferrell. You've got to see The Shrink Next Door. It's creepy, but it's good.
You've got too many shows for me at the moment.
Put those kids to bed and start watching television. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. You know what I did this morning? I had breakfast with the CEO, the big wig of the bank at Wintrust.
You're not talking
Ed
about
Wehmer,
the branch Wehmer. Manager.
No.
You're not
talking about Ed Wehmer,
you're,
the,
you're
the
not
boss.
Talking about the vice president.
I'm talking about the boss.
You're talking about the big boss.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah. That's how I roll. Who'd you have breakfast with?
Myself.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
Did you pick up the bill?
I did not. I offered, but like he's.
Oh yeah,
he's got more
bank. Full of money.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's probably got more money than could he ever spend in a lifetime.
Did you give him the thing again about the exploding scoreboard with the bank?
I did not mention that. No, I thought it was a great
from Wintrust.
You know what? I'm so pissed that I didn't.
You had a one-on-one with the president of Wintrust, and you didn't pitch your idea that you've been pitching to me about the Wrigley Field scoreboard because they sponsor the Cubs that they wouldn't like shoot out coupons.
It was such a great idea.
For the Wintrust Bank.
I whiffed.
Here's free $10 when you do this at Wintrust.
I think Ed and I are going to start being like Friday morning breakfast
friends.
Oh,
you think so?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a part of a breakfast club?
Yes.
I've never been a part of a breakfast club.
You can join us.
Like, I would like to be a part of a monthly breakfast club with someone.
Okay.
I don't
I can set this up. Ed's great.
I don't have
Deer
that.
Deer Path Inn? It's a standard Friday breakfast at 8 a.m.
We have a dinner tonight there.
Yes, I'll be back there.
You,
by the way, our very handsome new boss, Keith, was telling me that your mom was telling him that you used to get in trouble as a kid for dialing up 900 numbers.
Oh, yeah. You know that. I've told you that. Not 900
numbers.
Not the
here, kitty number.
No. Not the phone sex stuff, like sports phone. 976-1313 because I just wanted to know the scores and I didn't.
How much did that cost?
I was 10. It was probably like 50 cents a call back in the day.
How'd you work that bill off every week? Do you have to go cut the lawn? Or?
And then once they had a Santa Claus line where they had a recorded Santa Claus, and I used to call that. That was a 976 like 2525, and they would get that. And then it was it cost money to call the radio stations back in the day. 591 something, and I used to call the Loop. I used to call Kopic Show.
What was your handle?
Mark and Skokie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Mark and Skokie.
You never dulled it up a little?
No. I would call B96. And I'd do
little
Jobo
calling.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, what a nerd.
At any point, did you hit the wrong number and you go, hey, young man, what's your name? You didn't ever got one of those? No? No. By the way, our buddy Randy Merkin is here. If you want to buy his book, A Year in Jail. What's it called?
A year
in Jail. Oh, behind
that was a good line by him.
Behind the glass stories from a sports radio producer, our buddy Randy Merkin is here.
He could call it 10 years in jail
with working
the years
with us.
That he spent with us.
Yeah. Yeah. But he is here and the book is for sale. I advise everybody to come over and buy one.
Here's what I would suggest, too.
Buy two.
If you can't make it here, you can get it at behindtheglassthebook.com. And first of all, if you're interested in this field and you have a child who is growing up who may be interested in getting into journalism, be getting into radio, television, a podcast, you know, a friend, this is a great gift for them as well.
It's almost like required for the broadcast curriculum. Almost be like a book that you would have to buy if you took a class in radio production.
Right.
So come on out.
Are
and
we
buy
allowed to do that? Can I just show up at remotes and start selling sneakers? Like,
yes.
Can we just start selling stuff?
Yes.
Like, is that
Travis
just
does that.
Yes.
Like,
Travis is selling sneakers.
Start selling stuff.
Yeah, he's got his trunk open in his car.
We could do like a swap meet, a Waddle and Sylvie swap
Here's
meet.
Here's a bunch of extra beer I have. Here's some extra socks. Some sneakers.
I think we stumbled onto
Jordans.
Something kind of good where we invite different like companies to.
This is not
to
just
join
just,
us.
Not just companies. Just me. I'm gonna be out there. Stuff to get on my turf.
What about a ticket scalper? Can we have a ticket scalper here?
Well, there is a booth fee that you do have to pay Sylvie and I. So.
Oh, really? What are we charging?
Yeah.
Nachos? Nachos in a Miller Lite?
Yeah, if you put some food in front of you, you probably go. All right, anyway, I would like to spend this first half. I've got some doozies for the second half of Waddle's World.
What about the songs? When are we getting the songs?
That's what I would like to do right now. I'd like to turn it over to our esteemed producers and partners on our show, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, and let them lead us through the nonsense that is our parody song entries.
All right, guys. You know Tom Gilmartin?
Yes.
Yes.
Tom from Oak Park or Oak Forest?
Lawn.
Oak Lawn.
Close.
From one of the Oaks.
Oak Forest Park Lawn.
Tom from Oak.
He submitted, I saw Waddle peeing in my yard.
Hey, Bling. What are you barking at out there? That's it. Oh, is that Bears great Tom Waddle? What is he doing? Is he urinating? On my lawn? I saw Waddle peeing on my yard, waking up on a dark cold night. It was Miller time somewhere. His small bladder couldn't wait from there. He stumbled from the Uber and just let it flow all over. Oh, I saw Waddle peeing on my yard. He signed an autograph on my green grass.
He's the worst singer ever.
Shook it once, twice, but not thrice. It was a very awkward sight, watching Waddle peeing on my yard.
He's going for the high notes. Tom Gilmartin.
No, hon, let's not call the cops. He's a legendary 85 Bear.
Oh, there you go. That was a good punctuation.
No, Tommy, I don't think this is a good time to ask him for a photo. Let's just pull the curtains down. He'll finish soon.
You're just lucky it wasn't a deuce that dropped on your front yard.
It looked a good concept. You know, it got played.
It did. I think we didn't
gong it.
I think
I mean, after yesterday.
It's a step.
It's a winner after yesterday.
It's a step.
Do you realize
yesterday, the last 2 days,
that I have urinated either on a yard or in the bathroom of three of our teammates?
At least mine.
I peed at Adam's place.
Okay.
Well, I did both at your place. I peed outside and did something else inside.
Yeah, and you actually broke the seal on my new condo's toilet.
Yeah, I did.
You're the first one to go number two.
You were mad.
Well, I mean,
literally mad. Were we going to a Bulls game or something?
We were going out of town. We were going to Sam Adams.
Oh, that's
in Boston.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and pack. And I just moved into my new condo in Wicker Park. And this wasn't I had a couple, two bathrooms. And he used my downstairs bathroom for the first time to take the maiden voyage.
Yes.
I've got to be the one to take the maiden voyage.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
That is a little disrespectful.
And Carmen's backyard last year in the watch party for the Bears playoff game.
Four of them.
Well, once in two different places at your house.
One Caps.
I just didn't listen. I'd have never peed at Caps.
I have peed
in his. Did I pee in his front yard too?
Yes. You were hammered. Yes.
I actually thought that I was doing you a favor the time that I did it in your front yard, the peeing thing, because I didn't want to go inside and wake up the kids.
Yeah.
So it's just me being a good guy. That's what it was.
You would have woke them up by going inside and using a toilet.
All right. What else do we have, fellas?
All right, guys. DJ in Kansas City brings to you.
Oh, good.
Oh, no.
Caps. Caps beginning to look like a pumpkin.
Oh, no.
He's beginning to look like a melting pumpkin. Orange drippy streaks. Does he tan with a garden hose? Hold it between his toes and spray his face and hairy pimpled butt cheeks. Every time that I see his orange leather face, my eyes begin to burn. Are his teeth really extra white? Is his tan messing with my sight? Should human skin look like a worm? A pair of goggles, a thong, and a glass of rosé are a part of Kaplan's routine. Choosing a liquid that's orange to spray makes him look like a burnt Mr. Clean.
Wow.
Jacuzzi next to soak his breasts in sauna for a steam. Cappy skin color can't be all that healthy. A shade of orange prune. But we love Kaplan anyway, so long as he doesn't stain anything he touches in the room.
Finalist.
Yes.
That's a top fiver right there. So far,
DJ.
So good. That's a top fiver right
there. As I just texted JR, I better hear that Monday morning.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a Bears Monday or not. I better hear Monday morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. We asked.
That was something.
We received.
Thank you, DJ.
Well done, DJ.
He's always been
This is the way it works. We always sprint to the finish line with this contest.
And we have another week. Week from today. Enter at ESPNParody.com.
All right, we have to take a break, right? When we come back, I do have a couple of stories I want to relay to you, including the nuttiest story of the day. That's next.
This is a Miller Lite Waddle and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from the Howard Street Inn.
This is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Do I have to recreate the shut up mom line from baseball?
No, because
she's distracting you.
She's not. I want to hear more about you from her because it's like it's ammunition for the future. Like, I love to hear stories, true stories, from your mom about you.
Of a veiny 10-year-old running around Skokie yelling all day.
Screaming at everybody. All right. I do have a story that I think will apply to you.
I think Trey Toons just walked in, and he's pissed at me.
Oh,
he's mad at me. He's giving me the stink eye.
Yeah, he is.
He just winked.
Yeah, he did wink at you. Did he give you a side gun?
He did. He did.
Supply chain crisis is now threatening chicken tenders.
Oh, now we've reached.
Yeah.
We've reached a new low now.
Yeah, now we have issues.
Chicken tenders.
Now we are in a countrywide crisis.
I eat chicken tenders once a week. I had chicken tenders last night on the way to our event from Chick-fil-A.
I'm sure you did. Chicken tenders. Like, for a little guy, you need to eat more than anybody I know.
I'd love to eat.
I know you do, but, like, you had to eat before you got in the car to go to an event.
It was dinner time.
But you'd had lunch at, like, 4.
Okay, well, that was lunch.
Anyway, chicken tenders, the latest item affected by supply chain issues during the pandemic, which experts say may mean higher prices for them at the grocery store and restaurants. Will, in fact, you pay a higher price, or will you boycott?
When do we come to the point, though, of questioning whether or not there really are supply chain issues, and it's not just people saying we have supply chain issues, they can get more money for the products?
How about now?
You think they're doing that?
I think there may be a
few instances.
Because
we're like, well, you know, I kind of understand supply chain issues.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just kind of struggling. What are you going to do? Supply chain issues.
Yeah.
I think now they're, like, the Cubs are going to say, we haven't signed any free agents. Supply chain issues.
Yeah. I don't want to get into an economic conversation right at this point. I'm trying to have fun. But Australian man breaks the Guinness record for world's loudest burp.
Wow, they how many decibels?
112.4.
Whoa, that's like a drill.
That's almost, isn't that like an airplane?
Yeah, I think an airplane's over 100.
When I went on we went on spring break to Las Vegas. We went to a basketball game at the Thomas and Mack Arena.
105, 110.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they do because it was so loud in there is they gave you a decibel reading.
They would do that at the stadium, but I remember the first time I ever remember them showing on television the decibel reading for a loud stadium. JR, you have a guess? Because we grew up around the same time.
I'm going to say like 118.
We're around there, but do you remember the place where they would measure it all the
time? Oh, the United Center.
No, this was before that.
At the airport.
The old Metrodome during those Twins games of 87
right.
and 91.
With the hefty bag.
Homer Hankies,
mm-hmm.
That building used to get loud.
How's this for true love? The Australian man who broke the record, Neville Sharp, said his wife encouraged him to go for the record. Said he spent 5 years preparing by honing the strength and noise level of his belches.
That's amazing. It's a family affair.
I think it's
what
great.
Was the decibel level on that, you said?
It was 112.4.
So noise over 70 decibels at a prolonged period of time can cause damage to your hearing. Loud noise above 120 decibels can cause immediate damage. So that's
so
close to immediate
fantastic.
Damage, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Very smelly, too.
I may try to break that record before I get out of here. And finally, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
A woman on a Delta Airlines flight reportedly began to breastfeed her cat during the flight and refused to stop when confronted by the crew.
Look, it's an intimate thing.
Stop that back there.
Just a taste.
It's a mother, right?
According to Newsweek, the incident happened on a flight between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. There's a viral message posted on social media showing a screenshot what transpired.
That's amazing, isn't it? You're like, oh, look at that. Mother and its baby. Oh, wait a minute. That's a cat.
I am almost speechless.
I couldn't believe a listener. Hat tip to a listener who sent that to us. It was from WGN News this morning.
Delta allows passengers to bring small dogs and cats as emotional support animals into the cabin during a flight, but they must stay in a carrier under the seat or in front of for the entire flight. Delta says they have seen passengers interpret emotionally supportive to mean comfort turkeys, gilding possums, snakes, spiders, and more over the years. This is the strangest story that I've read about.
That's the nuttiest story.
Yeah, that is your nuttiest
story. The nuttiest story of the year, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the Howard Street Inn. Come on by. We're here for a couple more hours. I'll recap the story of the day with the Bears' injuries, but I also want to give some props to what the Bulls did last night. Another impressive victory, and they continue to surprise a lot of people nationally. We'll get to that in 2 short minutes.